The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower and Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is a return guest, not here often enough, but we got her back now, Joanne Wojtek of NASA Soup. You can find them at soup.nasa.gov. I'll repeat that a couple of times during the show, so put your pencils down. Welcome back, Joanne.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you here. So there's a lot of new things going on with Soup this year, and we're going to touch on several of them. But the biggie has been, and we touched on this a show or two back, your concern with authorized resellers. So explain what's going on there and why this meant so much to you.
So ever since Soup 4, which was over 10 years ago, Soup has been concentrating on how to better improve the information we give our customers in terms of supply chain, in particular the relationship between our contract holders and the manufacturers, providers of services and products. And so we went through several iterations of how to handle the authorized resellers, and then in Soup 5, we came up with a verification process whereby we verify authorized resellers with our OEMs, and it's a very strict process. It's worked very well. It allowed us to tell our customers when a contract holder, what relationship the contract holder had to the manufacturer, but it required the customer to actually take an extra step, which was to read through a file and find that information. And we were finding that with certain key manufacturers where authorized resellers really meant an important piece of the supply chain, our customers were missing that verification process. So we wanted to build something in that would take out the need for them to take the extra step.
Well, for those on the outside, why does it matter where the product comes from as long as it's an OEM product?
So for most companies, it's not a major problem. For most companies, they just sell through distributors or they have their own direct lines and they just sell it, and they don't really have something called authorized resellers. But for certain key critical manufacturers, particularly the IT industry, they want to make sure that their supply chain is controlled in for whatever reason and in whatever manner. It often means that they have they know that the people who are selling their products know what they're selling. They know that they're selling authentic products. They know they can maintain and warrant those products. So it handles a whole range of supply chain issues, again, for the key industries that matter. If a manufacturer has that set up and you don't use an authorized reseller, then we find our customers get notified of that, and they find out they can't get warranty, or they aren't sure if the product is truly that manufacturer's products, or it does just raise concern on their part as to the risk that was increased by not using the authorized reseller.
Huh. Okay. So you've been working on that a while, though.
It's been 10 years, at least. it's not an easy process. It's not as easy as saying everybody should be authorized, because authorized reseller, as I've been saying for years, is not a term that is actually defined. There is no definition for that. It is a term that is used a lot as if it means something, but it means something different for every company. And that's one thing to realize. And whether or not somebody is fully authorized.
When you say different for every company, you mean for the manufacturer, for the reseller, or both?
Both.
Okay. So yes. Even more confusing.
Yes, it's not as cut and dry as saying, well, everybody should be 100% authorized. It's more a case of figuring out what it means for the manufacturers and setting up a process by which we can then identify those that matter and verifying and then tracking those that matter. The key major manufacturers in the IT world in particular.
Okay. So the downside to buying from somebody not an authorized would be, aside from the warranty, you know, what other issues could crop up?
So it's a risk issue, and people sometimes get confused about gray market. Gray market isn't necessarily bad. It's just riskier, and essentially not buying from an authorized reseller is riskier. You're not sure where that product necessarily came from. So there is some line of provenance, essentially, that is lost if you aren't using an authorized reseller. Now, again, this is primarily for those key manufacturers. If you have a distributor relationship and you're using somebody like Ingram Micro or Synnex or Tech Data as a distributor for those products, then that provenance still may be okay. And for some manufacturers, that's fine. But we're concerned about the ones where unless you use the authorized, you can't be assured that you're buying the true product. If the customer wants to make that risk, we allow them to take that risk, but we want them to know that they're taking a risk and not using an authorized reseller.
Okay. So amongst your, is it 200 now?
Well, we have 50. Oh, how many contract totals? 140 contract totals.
140. So among those, are there still a significant portion that are technically not authorized for certain products?
Well, there. I don't think there's any one company. Well, there may be one or two. That some of the larger ones may be authorized for most things, but most companies are only authorized for certain products. They might be, you know, if they're in the network business, they might be authorized for Cisco, but not Juniper, or vice versa. So it can vary. And that's the good thing about having 140 companies is we do have authorized resellers of all the manufacturers. It's just not that everybody is authorized for every manufacturer.
Okay. So when you have requests for products come in from your customers, do you prioritize who's getting?
No. So when requests come into the customers, we do not do anything with the requests themselves. What we do is when the quotes come in from the contract holders, if they are quoting from a manufacturer who we consider to be an established authorized, to have an established authorized reseller program, again, a handful of those 5,300 companies that are on our contract, for those major companies, we do have a verification process, and we do not allow the quotes to come through unless the reseller is authorized for that manufacturer. So if you're buying a router and a power cord, we're going to make sure the router comes from an authorized reseller. We're not going to care about the power cord because power cords are just something that a dime a dozen you pick up from a box and you plug in. And they don't really have authorized resellers for power plugs.
Okay. That's a lot of work.
It's actually not any work for us in the sense that we have, that this is the reason why I took 10 years to get to this point is we've built a whole process system, automated process. It's all done through functionality that we've built into the basic steps that are done for any RFQ. So it just required a little bit extra programming. My programmers may say a little bit more than extra, but a little extra programming on their part, and now it's all automated. So there's no human intervention deciding that. It's actually an automated process.
Okay. moving on. Anything else about the reseller program first?
No, I think
okay. That pretty much covers it. You've got some new teams in place as well. So what precipitated that? Number one, Soup is literally the granddaddy of GWAX.
Yes, 25 years.
most people know that. Fifth iteration, arguably the most popular IT contract for the companies that win positions on it, certainly, and for those who are able to partner with those who have those prime spots. That being said, you institute two new teams this year to make it even better. What are they?
So earlier this year, we began a quality assurance team. So we have a lot of data. We have a lot of processes that are automated. We track a lot of information, or we track a lot of data, but it wasn't necessarily good information because all the data that's out there needs to be put in the right context and tracked and scrubbed and cleaned up. So I started a quality assurance team. Our first push was to handle EPEAT information, the energy information, because we found, again, through many years of working with the EPEAT registry, with working with industry, with working with other folks who handle energy relationships, nobody really could give us a connection between part numbers and EPEAT certification. People could say they were EPEAT certified, but nobody actually knew if that was true or not. So we actually spent several months of cleaning up our database, and now we have what I consider to be the only real EPEAT part number to EPEAT certification database out there for all of our part numbers, all 14 million part numbers in our system.
So is this primarily a supply chain issue or what?
It's primarily, well, in this case, it's primarily, it does two things. From the EP point of view, it handles the issue of customers in the government are supposed to look at EP for certain types of products and see if they are energy efficient and have the right certification.
Okay.
We find that for the most part, people just say they have a gold certification, but there's no verification of that process. So when Soup says they're gold, silver, or bronze, we've actually verified that. And it is correct in our system. So that helped. But in the same time, we also actually used it to clean up part numbers, and we've done better in terms of who our providers are. We find that, you know, people have to get things done quickly, so they'll type in Acme Corp when it should be Acme Inc. and you end up with the one wrong piece there, or they add some prefixes or suffixes to part numbers, so part numbers don't match up. We don't allow that in Soup, and now we have a QA team that makes sure that doesn't happen.
What if you get a dyslexic typer? No, just kidding.
and we do get dyslexic typers, and we handle that. We actually track it every day. We have reports come out that tell us things that don't match up as they should, and then we go back to the contract holder and say, you need to clean that up.
Of course you have it in place. That's why it's Soup.
Yes.
We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We're discussing all of the news stuff at Soup, and we shall return right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with Joanne Wojtek of NASA Soup, the Soup GWAC. You can find information about Soup at soup.nasa.gov. If you're not that familiar with the scope of the program, I suggest that you do go there. Before we move on to your content thing, let's touch bases real quick on, you know, you only have 140 some odd companies as primes on Soup. If there are manufacturers out there or other companies that want to partner with your contractors, give them a brief overview of how they might go about that.
So the way to get involved in Soup, if you're not already, there's several ways. One is to, if you're a manufacturer or a service provider and you have an item or a service that you want to provide on Soup, it's very easy to do so. We actually add about 5 new companies every day to our contract. And these are companies that have products that are then added to one or more of our existing contracts. So the number of contracts don't change. 140 or so will not increase. It's a set competed contract. But the products and services under that are changing constantly. So again, 5 new companies every day, about 20,000 new items get changed every day. So it's a very dynamic catalog. So yes, you may not already be on, but it's very easy to get added on. Just contact one or more of the contract holders, work with them. If you have a customer, it helps, because then they want to add your products or services, and then they can easily work with us to add that.
What if they contact you? Do you introduce them to, or do you just show them the list of contract holders?
Right. Contacting us will just have you do what I just did there, which is say contact the contract holders. We do not provide any direction in that regard, because
no,
we don't want to show a preference to one company or another. There is a tool called the provider tool on our website. If you look into Soup Tools, it's public. You can search on the current companies that have products on, the 5,300 companies that have products on our contract, and see who's already available. And it might be, you might tell you who you want to team with. You might say, oh, this company's already on this contract and I work well with them. Or you might want to find another contract, because you might say, I want to be on a different contract than that company.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to go with a competitor.
Yes. The other method to get involved is to team or partner with our companies. We have, of the 140 or so companies, 110 about are small businesses. Some of them are very, very, very small. They are overwhelmed with hundreds of RFQs a week, and they need help. And if you have some capabilities, either a locality capability or functionality that might assist them, you know, start chatting with some of the contract holders and contacting them and seeing if you could provide some help. We know there's a lot of partnering that goes on. It's all business to business. It's not a official government partnering. It's more business to business partnering. But it's a way to learn about Soup, a way to get involved. Many of our contract holders today in Soup 5 were partners in Soup 4 that learned the process so they could bid on Soup 5.
Yeah. And in Soup 4, you had virtually, I mean, there were companies that made less, but you really had no underperformers.
Well, we had one, but they dropped out completely out of the federal business. Yeah. So, and that's sort of happened already with C5. We've had a few companies drop out. They've all dropped out voluntarily at this point because they either went bankrupt or dropped out of the federal business because they were so small they weren't able to handle it.
That's too bad.
Yes.
Should have told me. I would have found somebody to buy their contract.
Well, that's happened too. And,
yeah.
And that's the third way to get involved is, you know, you can buy a company.
Yeah.
And there are people buying companies out there. Again, they're smaller companies. They're in, as long as you have a valid novation, we will follow that package.
And that was a joke about her telling me. She doesn't tell me anything she can't tell everybody, which is too bad because she knows neat stuff. So you have one other team that you've stepped up this year, your content management team. What's that about?
So as we grew over the, and I often mention Soup 4, because Soup 4 is really a growth period for Soup in terms of the U.S. government, and let's just continue with Soup 5. It not only means we have more data and more contract totals, we have a lot more information. We have lots of slides. We have lots of papers. We have everything out there, and I realized I needed a team to manage all that. And then I realized even further that people weren't reading everything we had out there. And I'll pick on the millennials, but I think it's not just millennials. You know, they just want to get something quick. They don't want to have to watch a 20-minute video. They don't want to have to read. They just want to know, what is this authorized reseller stuff about? So, or what does this button mean when I press this button? Why do I have to read about it? So I decided we should try doing videos. So we have our first video out there. It's on our main website. It's for the Established Authorized Reseller Program. We plan on peppering our website with these little videos that will hopefully catch the imagination of our customers and help them learn with 1 to 2 minute segments versus 20 minute segments of where they're at and what they need to know.
Get Steve Harvey to do the videos for you, and people will watch them. So.
I encourage people to watch it. It's on our homepage right now on the Hot Topics. It's within the tool itself, but we decided to show it on the main webpage to kind of give folks an idea of what these videos are going to be like. And it's a fun little video, but it also is instructive.
Let's take that a little further. Would these videos help your vendors sell better? And would these videos help the government customers understand the contract better and use it better?
Well, so especially the latter is what we're focusing on right now as our customers. So many times a question comes in, it's like, but it says it on their website, so clearly they aren't reading it, or somehow we're not communicating it correctly. And so the more ways you find ways to communicate to somebody, the more chances it is that they'll get it right and not have to send us an email and wait for help to come back. I mean, we do it, we return help right away, but it's still an extra step. So if we can do something that they can just push a button and know, oh, in 1 minute I can know what I want to know, and it's in a format that they want, video, while still having the word, written word version, I think that just can help. We will probably, we have plans to go further out with industry and to provide more information to industry. That's a little farther out as we look into building web pages and web tools, actually, for not just our contract holders, but for our industry partners, so that they can manage and work with Soup a little better. And then we'll be using, if need be, videos then also.
Okay, cool. Well, I think the last time we talked at any length, you were looking at deploying some sort of a dashboard for, I guess, public.
Not public, for agency usage.
Okay.
For an agency CIO or CFO or CAO to look at.
So it would be beneficial for them to see what they're buying, when they bought it, what they paid for it, where it went.
Right. So it's still a concept that we, while we've done a lot of things, I still have a lot of things I want us to do, and that's certainly high on our list. It just hasn't come to fruition as the Established Authorized Reseller Program took a lot of our time this summer. And we are providing CXOs throughout the agencies with reports. They just aren't interactive. Mm-hmm. Their spreadsheets. We do plan on eventually getting it to be such that they could go on and actually view it online. But and we have the tools. We just have to have some time to get that finalized.
Well, you don't have a huge staff to begin with, right? So
right, yeah, and we're growing it, but we are very careful about growing it in a
financially. You know, if I were you, right. I'd think about using this soup contract thing to find a company that could do this for you.
Well, we did buy the tool off the soup web, and we do have a consultant off the soup web, off the soup tools. So we do use soup itself to buy. It's just us having a person who has time to do so, and we will get to that within FY18.
You see, one of the cool things about your contract is if you buy the product somewhere, you get 15% or so of services, so you could actually have the vendor do it for you.
No, it's not 15%, it's 100%. There is no limit on services
cool.
on soup.
As long as it applies to what was bought.
No, as long as it applies to a product in some way. There's no connection to actually purchasing a product. It just has to be product-based.
I learned something new every time I talk to you.
Yes, we have it was Soup 5, we significantly increased the scope of services to include any service that has a product basis.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about where Soup has been doing some education recently. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with Joanne Wojtek. You can find go to the Soup website, soup.nasa.gov, click on that Hot Topics. The video that Joanne was talking about is 2 minutes. I'm going to, leave here and go watch it myself because I haven't seen it yet. So, But that's kind of tip of the iceberg on the educational front. You partnered with or did something with NCMA at the World Congress out in Chicago recently. What did you do and why NCMA?
So I'll start with why NCMA. So NCMA stands for National Contract Management Association. Soup has been associated with them for a long time. It's because they deal with our main customer base as a contract program, which is the contracts folks, contracting officers, the procurement analysts, the procurement specialists. They come to these. This is their main conference. This is their main association. And so we can go to all the technical conferences we want, but we're not going to see the people who actually end up doing orders. So we really focused on the program being where our customers are. And so as we moved along and the government became more and more against having conferences our own, became more and more difficult and role-based and it just became such that I felt we needed to not continue to try to do our own. And also the fact that travel is hard for our customers. If they're going to travel someplace and they're already traveling to one of the main conferences, which is the World Congress for NCMA to get training, what if we hooked up with NCMA and did a soup piece as part of that? So we started working with them actually 2 years ago. And last year we did a real small pilot. It worked well. We got some interest. So this year we went full blown and did a half day kind of mini conference. We're calling it the Soup Forum. Having about 5-6 hours of training involved in it. Also during the conference itself, we had a panel and then we also had some of our contract holders as a little pod. So they could, be concentrated in terms of our customers coming and talking to them. So it really became a mini conference, but it's not put on by the government, which makes it a lot easier. We just pay for the space, as appropriate and let all the conference piece be handled by the people who do it well, and as part of their job.
Right. And NCMA, Mike Fischetti's been on the show a few times, executive director or president of NCMA, I forget which. I think he's the executive director.
I should know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the board of advisors, which is part of that.
He's a good guy, he's a bright guy, and he has a track record as a procurement guy.
Right.
So he's who you want, but it is the educational grounds for the 1102s and their state and local counterparts. So,
and we're hoping to see it grow. It's a little, we have to get people to know it's there and to stay perhaps an extra day at the end of the conference. And we're working with Mike and NCMA next year now that we've shown it works. We ended up with about 60 to 70 people attending. We had about 200 people registered, which shows the problem of people registering but then realizing they don't have the time. So hopefully next year they'll make the time in advance and we'll be able to capture them and it will grow as a useful tool.
Well, you know, before most of Mike's events, he gets on the show and we talk about them. So,
yes,
if you're going to do the World Congress again next time, then we'll before the World Congress come in and join them.
Absolutely, and so, and we do plan. We've already made that a decision that we will be doing this as an annual event.
Cool. So, what are the kinds? I mean, you said the big problem. People have a hard time getting out of the office. So, what are the things are you doing to educate the buying universe?
So for a long time, Soup really focused on going out and meeting with the customer and doing one-on-one local trainings.
You did a lot of travel.
And we still do that, but we have a lot more customers. So it is still available for any of our customers to contact us. We have an education training form they can fill in anywhere in the world because I do get out to Europe and may even get to Asia next year. And we'd be happy to go visit and train for free. We just need to have you help us set up a place and a time. And that is certainly available, but recognizing that meeting directly is not always possible, we increased our webinar presence. We now do 2 webinars a month. Usually, at least one of them is a general Soup one, and then one may be more specific to a topic that's of major interest. Although that might vary, and that's always announced on our main webpage.
Give me an example of a topic. Are you talking like something like CDM, where you move a lot of product?
No, it's like the established authorized reseller program, and that was one. How to set up a static catalog within our catalog system is another. So key interesting points that take more than to really get into the meat of it takes more than a minute or two. Might take an hour to really go through it. So then we'll set that aside.
Yeah, I don't know if we've spoken since I saw that the report from Bloomberg showed was a tracking. Continuous diagnostics and mitigation for a 5-year period, 2012-2016. The GSA BPA was the single largest provider, but when you combine Soup 4 and Soup 5, you were larger than the BPA. So there was a lot of product moving through Soup and probably some services to go with that because it's not the kind of thing you just plug and play.
Right, and more so in Soup 5 now that we've increased our services capability. So that is a possibility for our customers to get to.
So would that something like that, would that possibly be of interest to your buyer community if you see a spike in a particular type of issue? Because CDM is an issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a product.
So it's a little difficult for us to get into that specific of a discussion at the contract program level. I think when we try to have the bigger picture view, if that ever came up, I could see us maybe we'd bring in an expert or somebody else outside who could discuss it. And that might be something as we do have plans on increasing our technology expertise. We already have some of that, but they're spread out so thin that it'll be good if we can add a few more technologists to our team, which
you
is
want,
on the plan.
Go the cheap route. If you want millennials, do your 5-minute podcast interviews. Ask an expert 3 questions on this. You got somebody like Bob Gourley sitting out there who is, very well known in the security arena. So just a thought.
A good thing for my content management team to look into now that I have one.
There you go. So what else on the educational front? So you're doing the webinars.
We just recently updated our training video. It was 2 years old, so it was not wrong, but no longer quite up to date. So that was updated. It's also available. It's a public page. We also do, along with the NCMA forum, a Soup forum at the World Congress, every year we have a meeting in the DC area that's built into 3 pieces. Typically, one is for our contract holders, one is for industry, and then one is for our customers. And it allows us to, in a few days, meet with those 3 key groups. So I don't have a date at this point. I'm thinking it's probably going to be late winter, early spring next year. We'll certainly let you know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That we'll have a chance for industry to come in who's not a part of Soup and learn how to become a part of Soup and meet with some of the contract holders and learn from them.
Yeah, and it's one of the few events that I go to even when I'm not speaking, because there's number one, the networking's great. Number two, the information's great. And number 3, it's pretty local for me.
Yes,
I'm not real fond of the travel either. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with Joanne Wojtek, the program manager for the NASA SOUP contract, soup.nasa.gov. And if I haven't said it before, SOUP is S-E-W-P. And before I let you go, 2016 was a pretty darn good year for SOUP.
Yes, it really matched, I guess it was good. It matched my expectations in that with SOUP 5, which began 2 years ago, we increased the number of companies, which itself should bring in more customers. We increased our scope. We increased a lot of the outreach that we were doing to agencies. So I would have felt disappointed if we had not grown. And we did grow about, I think, 25% from the year before, if not a little bit more. And did almost $4 billion worth of business between new orders and mods to old orders. So that was good. It certainly set us in a starting position for the rest of the SOUP 5.
Yeah, and you had carryover from 4 in 16,
right,
as well, which accounts for that the numbers that I mentioned on the CDM issue. How does 17 look to you? I mean, this has been a weird year. The budget wasn't passed in its entirety until June, so there was 110, 111 days left when the budget passed. So I'm anticipating a rather robust end of FY, but more so than usual because fear of October 1.
Oh, that's always the question. People say, well, do you expect September to be busy? Well, of course I expect September to be busy. It always is. August and September do 50% of our dollar amounts in a normal year. My feeling, just a personal feeling, is that for SOUP, August and September will be more than that in terms of percentage of the year. I do think that there's a pent up, especially for larger orders where agencies had to wait and how to really figure out what they were doing and trying to do it in a way that follows all the rules that are being set out there and understanding what those are. And then also we have had a lot more, even greater interaction with agencies at agency level that can drive more consolidated purchases, which may occur in September, than we've had in the past because they understand how to use us now in that way. So there is a possibility of an unusually large September. At this point, we're 25% ahead of last year, as the end of July. I would consider 25% to be a reasonable number to hit, but I would not be surprised if it was much higher.
Okay. So, I'm not going to ask you about October 1. That's kind of a political question. So, there's a fear factor there, though, because a lot of people, you know, the 1102 community, the technical, the entire government community is going, you know, we've heard rumors that somebody doesn't mind if there's a shutdown.
Well, and I've been in the government 40 years, and it seems like there's always rumors that there might be a government shutdown.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Okay. So last stuff here. You've got kind of the what is next category. You've got a Q&A function coming up.
Right. So we one of the things we pride ourselves in SOUP is communication and information between industry and government. We don't just talk about it, say that you should have it, but we look for ways to do it that actually work well. We introduced a new function about a year ago with a wood quote and plant a quote button for our industry folks to quickly notate to our customers what issues might be keeping them from quoting, or at least letting them know that they planted quotes so our customers realize there's people working on it. But we found that with that, we then had the question, well, industry's asking a question, how do I answer it? And it's doable in our current system, but not exactly what one would call smooth. So we're going to have a very smooth, interactive, and as normal with SOUP, a very automated process whereby the contract holders will be able to easily ask questions in a formatted way, a trackable way, and the government can then change the redact it, the question, so it's correct, and then answer it, and everybody will see it posted who's as part of that RFQ, and allow for that interaction to occur in a very easy way. So
this would be a vendor to buyer Q&A function?
Yes.
And you're going to moderate it just to make sure that everything's...
We are not going to moderate it. We don't moderate. Oh. It's up to the CO to moderate it. So the CO will get the questions and they will determine how they want to answer them. And it's we Soup does not typically moderate or determine how COs operate. We provide tools for them to work with industry and with the contracts.
Cool. So what else is new that you want to bring up here? Or
well, the other part that I really want to get done, and I'll say it publicly, so hopefully I'll get the time to do it, is also for industry. And it's a concept which I find, much like talked about some of the other issues that take a long time to get going. It seems simple in my mind, but when it comes down to reality, it seems like nobody quite has it right. And that is showing what real capabilities exist for our companies. So what does a contract holder really bring to the table? What are their capabilities? Not I'm a distributor for this, I get all my products from this distributor.
I'm a systems integrator.
Right. What does that mean?
Two partners.
What is the actual good things? Because I think we have a lot of good capabilities out there, but we don't have a good way of displaying that. But it turns out deciding how to do that is not as simple as because it's something that everybody just wants to say, I do everything, and I don't want that. I want to have real information. So we're going to be careful about that. But certainly in FY18, we'll have our first attempt at a capabilities page for all of our contract holders to help our customers know if they want to get cabling in Timbuktu, there's somebody who can do that. And if they want to get something local, there's somebody who can do that. So if they need a certain type of service, there's folks who do this and so on. So we feel like we cover the whole range, but our customers want to know exactly that there are real companies out there who focus on their needs.
Yeah. Okay. we got a couple of minutes left, so I want to go back to the authorized reseller for just a minute. Lessons learned from, that was a long process.
So two lessons learned. One was what I expected, which is that nobody was paying attention to the authorized reseller program until we enforced it. And then suddenly industry became very interested in it. And certainly both the manufacturers who are involved and the contract holders. So that was good. I wanted them to get focused on doing it right. But what we realized almost immediately is, there's actually a middle ground to right now. The customer can either say, I don't care if you're authorized or not, just send me your quotes, or by default, for those companies that have the established authorized reseller program, we will not let the quote come through. What we'll be working on next year is focusing on a middle ground, which is any quote can go through, but make it very, very clear to our customers which meet certain criteria in the first case authorized resellers. But we might later add, and this is just theoretical, but we might add a functionality that says, what is your maximum dollar amount? What's your budget if you have a budget? And then flag any quotes that are over that budget. Still show it to the customer. They may still want to purchase it, but let them know what doesn't meet their criteria.
But you're not going to show the selling universe what that dollar max is.
No, not necessarily. Yeah. So we'll work. Again, that was very theoretical. Yeah, but there are other ideas. Other TAA compliance. Is it compliant or not? We show that information.
That's what scares me about that 801 thing and defense authorization is all the compliance issues. But we'll go there another day.
Yes.
All right. One final thing. You're going to be on my panel at 9:30 Gov?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you doing anything else at 9:30 Gov? You guys exhibiting there? Or?
I believe we should be exhibiting there, yes.
Okay. I know you were there last year. You were on my panel. No, Darlene was on my panel last year.
I will be there this year.
Good. Yay. Not that I mind Darlene on the panel. I mean, if you're not going to be there, Darlene's,
I have a great staff, Darlene Downward, and the whole staff at Soup is just amazing.
I agree. How long's Darlene been with you now?
So I believe she started with the beginning of Soup 4 because she was the CEO for Soup 4. So it's almost 10 years as a deputy.
Cool. Yeah. Good person to have on the team.
Yes.
Final thoughts?
I think Soup continues to show how both how to provide information and how difficult sometimes it is to get that information. But to if you really work at it, you can get some good information to customers and industry to make that transition, the purchasing of products and services easier.
Yeah. And, you know, Soup's not going to have an on-ramp. So if you want to play with these folks, take a look at the current contract holders and figure out how you can partner with them or support them. If you're an OEM, you know, you definitely need to be on this contract. It's for all intents and purposes, it is the granddaddy of GWAX, and it's probably the most popular contract. It's certainly the most popular contract from my perspective, just based on all of the feedback I get from the contract holders and the contracting officers who bother to share their opinion with me. So, Joanne, thanks so much for joining me again. And I'll see you next month in at the convention center at 9:30, Gov.
Thank you.
This is not my day job. If you need some advice on your overall marketing program for the government, give me a shout. And if LinkedIn is still confusing you, I do a lot of training on social selling in B2G. Drop me a line, mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.